Good morning. I'm Chris Parks with a check of KJAN News. And the top news story is what we do anticipate here with the weather here over the weekend. A chance of anywhere from 3 to 5, 6 inches being reported as a possibility here during the day and overnight here tonight, as winter weather advisories have been put in place here around the listening area. There is a winter weather advisory in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until 6 a.m. on Sunday for Cass County, along with Adair, Madison, Adams, Union, Clark, Taylor, and Ringgold counties. And Fremont and Page counties have a winter weather advisory in effect from noon today until noon on Sunday. And Monona, Harrison, and Shelby counties with a winter weather advisory in effect from 9 a.m. this morning until 6 a.m. on Sunday, and a wind chill watch also in effect there from late tonight through Sunday morning, as we expect anywhere in that 3 to 5 inch range as far as snow accumulation is concerned around most of the area, and also with very cold temperatures with wind chill values here over the weekend dipping to around 30 degrees below zero as we head through the weekend. So could see some very cold temps along with that snowfall, and we'll keep you up to speed with how things progress here on KJAN. In other news for you here this morning, Governor Terry Branstad is joining with the rest of the nation's governors to oppose any cuts to the National Guard. Branstad said Friday that all 50 governors had signed a letter to President Barack Obama expressing concerns about proposed cuts to the Guard in the federal budget. The letter says the Guard is a cost-effective operational force that is critical to our national security at home and abroad. Branstad raised these issues with Obama this week during a meeting of the National Governors Association in Washington. Branstad was reappointed this week as co-chair of the Council of Governors. The council was established in 2010 to strengthen collaboration between federal and state governments on national security issues. The president appoints the members with equal representation from both political parties. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of two teenagers on alcohol-related charges on Saturday. At approximately 12:17 a.m. this morning, officers pulled over a vehicle for a driving infraction on L Avenue, approximately a quarter mile north of 130th Street in Montgomery County. During the stop, 18-year-old Brooklyn M. Chickering of Malvern and 15-year-old Merica K. Houchins of Red Oak were arrested and charged with possession of alcohol under the age of 21 and minor in possession of alcohol, respectively. Both were taken into custody and transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center without incident. Houchins was processed and released to the custody of a parent. Chickering was processed and released on citation. The Cass County Board of Supervisors have approved a pre-construction agreement with the Iowa Department of Transportation for the replacement of a bridge deck over Interstate 80 at the Marnie exit. County Engineer Charles Marker explained the DOT had planned to begin the project last summer, but another project took priority. The project on M56 north of Marnie was put on hold for a nearby project. The original agreement for that project was nullified. The DOT has requested basically the same agreement to be signed by the board, with construction slated to begin this summer. And the county's role in the agreement is simply to establish detour routes. M56 is a numbered route, and the detour must be on another numbered route that will enable traffic to reach the interstate. If some of the local residents use an alternate road and that road is gravel, the DOT will pay for dust control if the traffic flow is heavy enough to warrant it. The project involves replacement of the bridge deck over I-80 and the temporary use of head-to-head traffic lanes underneath the bridge. Officials with Harlan Municipal Utilities have hired two representatives from Iowa Association of Municipal Utilities to help search for a new chief executive officer. In a board meeting Thursday, Al Bonderman and Bob Hauge informed the board of a new concept called a poll program to reach out to several states' municipalities to find a new CEO. Bonderman told the board they would help advertise and review applications for the opening at HMU and would work with Hauge as a team. The process that they proposed is to come back to Harlan and spend some one-on-one time with all the board members and spend the day with employees to try and get everyone's input on what the ideal candidate would look like. And Bob Hauge would be in charge of the administrative process, development the language for the ad, and place the ads on websites at state associations in Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, and Kansas. They discussed at length in a previous meeting on February 13th to hire a separate firm to go out and recruit candidates for the job. Bonderman says the IAMU process is a little different. The difference is what he calls a headhunting firm. They'll seek out candidates. They pay a lot of money, and the value is that they will actively keep looking for people to fill those jobs. They are not just advertising. They are making phone calls and cold calls trying to find anybody to apply. Chairman David Tyrell said this process from IAMU will be effective and cheaper than the other firms. The other firms had quoted them anywhere from $39,000 to $30,000 for the process, whereas with IMAU, they're talking about a $6,000 budget for the process, and there's a drastic, obviously, financial difference there versus the executive search. In addition to the maximum budget of $5,400, Bonnerman will help as a temporary CEO if or when needed and will not exceed $2,500. The HMU board approved the agreement with IAMU. And other business, the board approved the certificate of completion for the water treatment plant and tabled a funding request from the City of Harlan in the amount of $25,000 per year beginning July 1st of this year. HMU had a three-year agreement with the city for the same amount, but the board decided to table the item in order to focus on other projects at the utility company. Miners who head into tanning salons to bronze their skin could no longer use the facilities under the plan being considered by Iowa lawmakers. A bill would order tanning salons to ban anyone under age 18 from using commercial tanning devices and would require salons to post and hand out written warnings to customers. The American Cancer Society says the earlier a person is exposed to UV radiation from indoor tanning and other sources, the greater the risk of getting melanoma and other skin cancers later in life. Democratic Senator Herman Kornbach, who sponsored the bill, says reducing the risk of skin cancer in any way is crucial, but pro-tanning groups worry that the benefits associated with indoor tanning, such as vitamin D development, are being ignored. Des Moines police are investigating the discovery of a body found partly clothed in a wooded area of a park along the Des Moines River. Police spokesman Sergeant Jason Halifax says a couple walking in Birdland Park found the body Friday morning near a tree adjacent to the pond. Police haven't identified the person, whom Halifax described as a man who appeared to be between 30 and 40 years old. Halifax called it odd that the body was partly undressed. There were no stab wounds or gunshot wounds, and an autopsy is being planned. And the Iowa Senate has unanimously approved a measure that would crack down on human trafficking involving minors. In a 48-0 vote Thursday, the Senate approved the bill. It returns to the House, which passed similar legislation earlier this week. The bill would toughen penalties for those who sexually exploit minors and requires the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy to include data about reining, staffing, and investigative efforts dealing with human trafficking in an annual report. It also establishes a fund for programs that provide services and support to human trafficking victims. Democratic Senator Robert Dvorsky, who sponsored the bill, says human trafficking is becoming a more serious problem across the country, and his bill is an effort to strengthen laws in Iowa. That's a look at some of the latest news for you here this morning. Now taking a look at our funeral announcements. Joseph Michael Beeson, age 88, of Clarinda, died Tuesday at his home. A mass of Christian burial for Joseph Michael Beeson will be held at 10 a.m. here today at the St. Clair Catholic Church in Clarinda. Ike Meyer Funeral Chapel in Clarinda has arrangements. Sharon Peterson, age 77, of Avoca, died Tuesday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Celebration of life service for Sharon Peterson will be held today at 10 a.m. at the First Baptist Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gladys Hall, age 91, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Gladys Hall will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Frederick Fritz Gilbert Miller II, age 86, of Avoca, died Wednesday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Fritz Miller II will be held Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Scott Stevenson, age 24, of Adair, died Monday at home. Memorial services for Scott Stevenson will be held at 2 p.m. today at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Brian Edward Moy, age 46, of Avoca, died on February 22nd at home. Celebration of life service for Brian Moy will be held at 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Polly Jones Funeral Home at Avoca. Phyllis Rohner, age 88, of Fontenelle, died on Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Phyllis Rohner will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Jean Dunshee, age 88, of Clarinda, has died. Funeral services for Jean Dunshee will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Clarinda. Ritchie Funeral Home in Clarinda has arrangements. Jill Steffens Blotney, age 65, of Carson, has died. Funeral services for Jill Steffens Blotney will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. at the Wheeler Grove United Church of Christ in rural Carson. The Lus Hills Funeral Home in Carson has arrangements. Courtney Johnston, age 27, of Dexter and formerly of Greenfield, died on Friday at the Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Courtney Johnston are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. and Verdella E. Smith, age 89, a longtime resident of Atlantic, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services are currently pending for Verdella Smith. The Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. That's a look at your latest funeral announcements here. And news is 7 o'clock hour on KJN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.